Welcome to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. Public health nurse and Health Center correspondent Barbara Glickstein is also the chair of the board of Project Kesher, and she is here to talk with us about what that organization is doing to help nurses and other healthcare workers in Ukraine to be able to provide the care and reach the people they need to reach. Barbara, thanks so much for coming on live today.
Hi, Diana. It's good to be here, and thank you for letting me talk about something positive that is helping healthcare providers, as you mentioned, nurses, medics, and social workers in war areas, active war areas in Ukraine. I also want to say I'm so grateful that the House and the Senate passed the bill to continue funding Ukraine. It's really a critical need, and hopefully we'll be talking about post-war situations soon.
Before you start, I just have to say that I've been reflecting, though, as happy as I am that it finally got passed, the damage that was done in the delay is incalculable. It's not just lives, but it's a setback in terms of the morale, territory, et cetera, and shame on those people who held it up. That's all I can say. So,
I'm with you.
Talk a little bit about Project Kesher. Tell people what it is.
So Project Kesher has been working in Ukraine for over 30 years, and our work involves women and girls, and we provide education, leadership training, opportunities to learn more about their faith, which is Judaism, in a country that prior to perestroika, it was really difficult to find out what it meant and to learn anything about this. And so we don't tell people how to be Jewish or what they need to do to be Jewish, but if you are Jewish, to be educated about what that means as a faith, as a people. And through the years, we've been involved in many education programs, sending children to camp, providing women with resources to become educated, learn how to use computers. And since the start of the war, our focus has really become gendered humanitarian aid. And what do I mean by that? We focus specifically on the needs of women and girls when, in fact, during the war, they're really holding up more than half of the world. Most of the men are on the front line or at work to support the war, and it's become economically very difficult for most families. So one of the many things that we are doing is this e-bike program. And these e-bikes, these electric bikes, are manufactured in Ukraine, so our project is supporting the economy. They're also, they're very carefully vetted which community they go to. So this, as the conflict has persisted, what's happened is that these healthcare practitioners are adapting ways to meet the demands of reaching the individuals, families, and communities they serve. So these nurses are using their e-bikes. They get to reach beyond where they would on foot. And many of the roads have been unsafe to travel on for not only the damage from bombing, but also we know that there are things that have been planted in areas on these roads that could cause death and destruction of those who pick it up or walk past it or step on it. So these conditions are quite challenging, but these nurses and social workers and medics want to reach the people they care for, and particularly the vulnerable people are the elders, some of the people living with chronic health issues, and also pregnant women who cannot reach care in the clinics and hospitals that would be normally providing them. So 75 some data to share. We are collecting data because we want to continue to fund this and be sure that they're, one, given to the communities that know how to use the bikes, that can provide repair to the bikes, that also have charging stations so the bikes can be used. We give about 8 to 10 bikes in each community. To date, we've given away 65 bikes. They're about $900 to $1,000 each. And what we've learned is it's reduced travel time to patients by 75%, and at the moment, 11,500 people are served monthly in four communities, in the Sumy, Donetsk, Kharkiv regions of Ukraine. They're mainly primarily nurses, but there are about 30 of them and 35 social workers. And the medics can also, since they often work in the same locale, if the medic is needed to use the bike and it's there, they can use it. The city administration and local hospitals confirm with us the necessity of the e-bikes. They're taught how to ride the e-bikes to be safe. And it's really become an extraordinarily successful project, so much so that I want to give an acknowledgement to the International Congress of Nursing. Thanks to you, Diana.
Council of Nurses.
That's right. We have congresses. They're the council. They just recently donated $10,000 for the purchase of 10 additional bikes, which have been ordered and will be available very soon and will go to the Kharkiv region in Ukraine, that is a city that has been terribly, terribly bombed. And these bikes will add another layer of help to the communities that are living under very, very difficult situations. So I'm excited. I want to let everybody know that I recently celebrated my 70th birthday. And in honor of my birthday, my friends and colleagues at Project Kesha donated one bike in my name. And I received a video from the nurse who's using that bike. I couldn't think of a better acknowledgement of life-affirming moments than having that bike dedicated in my name.
Yeah, it's a wonderful project. It was a brilliant idea, Barbara. And so I've been watching some of the news about Russia bombing the electric stations in Ukraine. So what happens? How are these charged? What happens when the electricity's out?
Well, I don't know that. I know where they've been bombing. It was in Dnipro just recently, and one of our CEO, actually, Vlada Nedek, lives very close to there. Yes, it is critical that the bikes be recharged. And anyone who owns an e-bike or has ridden one, I ride them in the city sometimes through our city bike program. The bicycle, in the computerized part of the bicycle, tells you how many more miles you can drive before you recharge it. I guess if you have a hybrid or electric car, you know that. So they don't let it get below a certain number, and I don't know what that number is exactly. And they make sure that they're charged in enough so that they can do the daily work. I have not heard that anyone has had a problem with the bombing area to recharge their bikes. Some of the hospitals, I believe, have, in terms of emergency generators, which we know they have, of course, priority would go to patient care and the need for lighting and surgical rooms. But we, again, have full cooperation with the cities that these bikes are going to and the hospitals. So whatever emergency preparedness plans are in place in the event of a bombing and a shutdown of power, that we're included in that emergency preparedness plan.
So, Barbara, I've never ridden an electric bike. If it's not charged, can it not be used manually?
It's a bear. It's a bear to bike manually. Oh. Some of them are better than others. The ones that I ride, one time it wasn't so much that I got on and it was charged, but it broke. Something broke. And I literally could not turn the pedals. Now, I don't know about better models that aren't, you know, made for city driving in New York. Some of them might be like a hybrid, more like a car. But it's not that easy to pedal the ones that I've been on. And perhaps some of your knowledgeable e-bike listeners will have another position on that. I think I don't know the answer to the bikes that we have been purchasing. They do look, from the photos that I've seen, to be lighter than some of the bikes that I've ridden here in New York City. They look like the wheels are thinner, and the the bike frame looks lighter. Mm. So the charging mechanism that makes the bike weigh more might also be easier. So these might be able to pedal, but they are definitely not as easy as pedaling a bicycle that's not electric. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. And all of the ones that you bought are still in use?
They're all still in use.
That's wonderful.
Yep, this program started less than a year ago. We have hundreds of requests now.
Yeah.
And we're hoping, we just ordered 65 new bikes. Half of those are already committed to a city. And because the weather's warming up, we know the cold winter, you know, the snow, the conditions in parts of Ukraine that have made bike riding, even e-bike riding, difficult. We, our requests as springtime is coming in Ukraine have increased. So we wanted to get a jump start, and we hope that we'll be funded by individuals and other foundations to continue to purchase these bikes. But we know that not only are we interested in the e-bikes, but in many of those places that the roads have become unsafe to travel on, bike paths and being able to ride carefully and safely will become of interest to Ukrainian people.
Great. And while I have you on here, quickly tell us about the grant that you all just got.
So we just received our largest grant to date, and I want to say that we did it because we've become bolder in our ask. So anyone listening, including the work that I know you're involved with, Diana, in your community, sometimes you just have to be bold and ask for more than you ever thought you'd ask for. And so we asked for $3 million over 3 years from an organization called the Jewish Federation of North America. And we got $1.5 million for the first 18 months to provide humanitarian aid to gendered humanitarian aid to Ukraine. We just got our first installment of that money this last week. And with that money, we will be offering micro grants of from $1,500 to $3,500 to women who had businesses that were destroyed in the bombings and or were displaced because their cities were under attack and are living now in other parts of Ukraine to restart their businesses. We have been doing this. We've already given away about $250,000 previous funding. And these women are just rocking it. They not only have restarted their businesses, they've doubled their businesses. They're now giving back to the community by offering jobs to those who live in those communities. Once a week, one baker is giving away free bread for those in need who can't afford to buy the bread. Mm. So it's not unusual for these amazing, amazing women to get these small amounts of money. Not a lot, right? $2,500 for us. It's not a lot to restart a business. They're restarting their businesses. And in the model of Project Kesher, they're giving back to communities by giving food away, by giving jobs, and by supporting and uplifting the community through their work.
You know, in Project Kesher's mission statement, you make reference to building civil society. And that's certainly what these projects represent. That's what the e-bikes represent. It's really fabulous work. And for people who would like to support, maybe fund a bike, or maybe contribute to this project on providing women with grants to expand or restart their businesses, how could they reach Project Kesher?
Well, thank you, Diana, for that shout out. You can go to our website, Project Kesher, KESHER.org. And Project Kesher, the word Kesher means connection in Hebrew. So we'd love to have you connect with us. And thank you for whatever size support you might be able to give to advance our e-bike program and other humanitarian aid to Ukraine.
And one more time, that website
is Project Kesher, KESHER.org.
Well, Barbara Glickstein here today as chair of the board of Project Kesher, but also a public health nurse and health center correspondent. Thank you so much for coming on live today, and may you have a wonderful Passover this week.
Thank you, everyone. Be well.
Be well. Bye-bye. Yeah. my friend and compadre in, we call each other work wives. we work a lot together, that we have an enduring friendship, and she does incredible work, and I'm really honored and delighted to work with her.